Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and were it not for Eastern Ukraine, the lead global news story today might well be that the six-month interim nuclear and sanctions easing agreement between the United States and Iran expired yesterday with no permanent agreement, but they did come up with a four-month extension for more talks, encouraging to some analysts because neither side is publicly vilifying the other. Iran, as you may remember, had suspended certain enrichment activity, while the U.S. and the West generally had lifted some economic sanctions. Many are still in place. But can they come to yes on a permanent deal? With Iran sharing U.S. concerns about the ISIS rebels in Syria and Iraq and a more moderate Iranian leadership than in the Ahmadinejad days, can the U.S. and Iran even begin to thaw relations more? We have a very special guest on this morning, Princeton University research scholar Syed Hussein Mousavian, who in the past has been the spokesman for Iran's nuclear negotiations, Iran's ambassador to Germany, and a member of Iran's National Security Council. He has a new book that tries to explain each side to the other, called Iran and the United States, An Insider's View on the Failed Past and the Road to Peace. The book has a foreword by former U.S. Ambassador Thomas Pickering. Mr. Mousavian, thank you very much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you.
What do you make of the four-month extension of the temporary deal?
I believe they have already had great achievements during the last 6 months. Iranians, they have made it clear to the world powers, including the U.S., that they would be ready to cooperate on the maximum level of transparency on their nuclear programs within the framework of non-proliferation treaty. I have explained in my book that there are two different sets of measures negotiating between the world powers and Iran. The first one is about non-proliferation treaty. Within the non-proliferation treaty, we have three arrangements. One is subsidiary arrangement. One is safeguard agreement, which all member states, they have signed already and they are implementing. No dispute. The second one is additional protocol. Two-thirds of the countries, they have worldwide, they have signed, and one-third not. And the third one is subsidiary arrangement code 3.1, which almost one-third of the countries internationally, they do not comply with this also. Iranians, during the last 6 months, they have made it clear that they would be ready, in case of comprehensive deal, they would be ready to implement all three arrangements. This means, I mean, any country implementing these three arrangements practically would be the most transparent nation on its nuclear program.
You're emphasizing, let me follow up on this, because you're emphasizing transparency, which means they might do some things that people may not want them to do in the West, but they would be let it known what they're doing. If you watch the Sunday talk shows yesterday, the chatter from Washington on Iran, even among Democrats, was much more skeptical that this would be safe in terms of non-proliferation, in terms of Iran actually not developing a bomb. And one piece of evidence that keeps coming up is the kind of centrifuges that they want to keep using, which critics say are only needed for weapons-grade enrichment. So they may be transparent on the surface, but there's so much suspicion in this country and around the West that Iran would still be secretly working on a bomb with this technology. So in your now neutral position as a Princeton research scholar, do you believe Iran?
I believe Iranians are not after nuclear bomb. I'm really convinced. Here is a very clear understanding I have from spending over three decades within the administration. Just some days ago, you heard from German foreign minister that he said, I'm also convinced Iran is not after a nuclear bomb. Now Russia and China, they are publicly stating that they are convinced Iran is not after a nuclear bomb. And the U.S. also is gradually reaching to this conclusion. And I have explained in my book why Iran is not after a nuclear bomb. Iran is after its rights within the framework of NPT. Iran is against discrimination. Iran does not like to be victimized within NPT. This is really the issue, nothing else. However, a deal. Should we make a deal based on international rules or regulations or not? This is the question.
Rules and regulations, meaning on the one hand that Iran should be seen as having a right to develop its own nuclear power technology, and the other, from the other side, needing to be transparent under the Non-Proliferation Treaty.
Exactly. When I am talking about international rules and regulations on nuclear issue, the only major credible treaty we have is Non-Proliferation Treaty, NPT. We don't have anything else. This means international rules and regulations on the nuclear issue. Iranians today, after 6 months of intensive negotiations, have made it clear to the U.S. and the other world powers that they would be ready to go to the maximum level of transparency and to adhere to all commitments within the framework of Non-Proliferation Treaty to be the most transparent nation to implement all three arrangements.
So why do you think they couldn't? Why do you think they couldn't come to a permanent agreement by yesterday?
Exactly, this is the problem. Because the demands mainly raised by the U.S. are not demands within the framework of NPT.
Which demands?
They are demanding Iran to accept measures beyond NPT. For example, they are asking Iran to cap its enrichment below 5%. Okay, Iranians, they have already accepted. They have no problem. But this demand is beyond NPT. Within NPT, you can enrich to 90%, 100%. There is no limit for enrichment within NPT.
That's bomb grade.
Yes, but many other countries already they are enriching high level because within NPT it is permitted. However, Iranians, they have accepted to limit their enrichment below 5%. Because they are not after a nuclear bomb. And practically, even on the civilian use, they don't need it. For their nuclear power plant, they need enrichment below 5%. One. The world powers, they are asking Iran, I mean exclusively the U.S., not to have reprocessing. To make a nuclear bomb, you need to have reprocessing facilities. Iranians, they have accepted to have no reprocessing for a long term. They have never had reprocessing, and they have accepted to have no reprocessing in near term, even midterm, or even long term. However, reprocessing is legal within the framework of NPT, and many other member states, they have reprocessing. Therefore, and the other issue is with the stockpile of enriched uranium. The U.S. is asking Iran to have limited stockpile. Iranians already, again, here, they have accepted to have limited a stockpile. But within the framework of NPT, there is no limit for a stockpile. However, the second set of measures I was going to explain for you are measures beyond NPT. Almost 70% of such a measures proposed by the U.S. and the world powers, Iranians already they have accepted, like cap at enrichment below 5%, like having no reprocessing, like having limited stockpile, and all this. The only issue is left for the only major issue is left is about two cases. One is whether Iranians would be entitled to provide fuel for their own nuclear power plants or not. Iranians, they are reiterating that we want to be self-sufficient to provide our fuel for our own power plants, and we don't need to import from outside. The U.S. is pushing Iran to import its fuel for the only nuclear power plant Iran already has. They are pushing Iran to import it from Russia. This is the major dispute. Americans are telling Iranians, look, you have power plants. You should not be self-sufficient. You should not have domestic capacity to provide fuel for your power plants, even below 5%.
We have one. I hear everything you're saying. We have 1 minute left in the show, and I want to give you an opportunity for a big picture answer based on your book. Do you think if they can get to yes on these particulars, that it sets the course for a new larger productive relationship between the United States or not?
Exactly. This is exactly what I'm optimistic. First of all, I'm optimistic they would 70-80%. I'm optimistic they would be able to finalize a deal within 4 months. Second, I believe the common interest between the common interest issues between Iran and the U.S., which I have explained in length in my book, are much more than the differences. Stability in Afghanistan, crisis in Iraq, crisis in Syria, the stability of energy, oil. There are a lot of major issues which Iran and the U.S., they have common interests. I believe striking a deal would open the door for Iran and the U.S. to go for broader cooperation regionally, bilaterally, and internationally.
Thank you very much for coming on. I hope you'll come back as the four-month deadline that's now been imposed comes closer and follow up on what's happening then. Princeton University research scholar Syed Hussein Mousavian, who in the past has been the spokesman for Iran's nuclear negotiations. His new book is Iran and the United States, An Insider's View on the Failed Past and the Road to Peace. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. All the best.